from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're back in St. Joe. Cody and Gold hanging out here. 1 o'clock hour, broadcasting from the Comcast Business Tent. Powering possibilities in all of our training camp coverage is presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I got to get into something again that I'm still confused about to this minute. About yesterday at my apartment and a neighbor and something that happened. We asked Sean Barber about it earlier. If you missed it, we'll get it back into that. Because I still don't think we've really resolved perhaps what happened. So we'll try that in a little bit. But up here at camp today, Mayor Quinn Lucas was here. His normal visit, just like you'll see the governor, the typical dignitary thing throughout training camp. And Harold Kuntz over at Fox 4 had a chance to catch up with Quinn Lucas and asked him about where the stadium stuff sits. And frankly, after yesterday, you know, did that change anything with how the conversations could go with future sites for the Chiefs and or Royals? And here's a little bit of what Mayor Q had to say.
Well, you know, look, I think the conversation remains strong in connection with the conversations that have been ongoing. There has never been a stop of the discussion. I think a lot of people thought the sky was falling back when the Kansas legislature was taking steps. But here's the reality. Missouri and the city of Kansas City have real money to put on the table. They have existing relationships, and now we have people in the right places to get things done. And so I would expect it will be a matter of weeks, not months, when you are hearing about progress in regard to both teams, both the Royals and the Chiefs. Those conversations haven't ended. We continue to have strong relationships with the ownership group, and I think whether it's Governor Kehoe or Governor Quaid and the Missouri legislature, I think they all are committed to making sure the teams remain. So, you know, I breathed a sigh of relief yesterday in terms of where we are, and I think the teams can too, recognizing that the place they've been for the last several generations can be the place that they'll be for the future.
It's obviously a very optimistic Mayor Quinn Lucas about where things could go. He said a matter of weeks, not months. Not saying it's all going to be finalized and done, but weeks, not months.
We should get some more updates on where these things are going.
He phrased it as positive news, obviously, in his position, right? He's talking about Kansas City, Missouri, and Jackson, you know, in ultimately Jackson County and this whole area for the future home for both or one of the teams. And so something we'll be keeping an eye out. I mean, I go back to a couple weeks ago, Mark Donovan's comments initially saying that, you know, 6-month timeline, then Clark Hunt kind of, not backtrack, but was like, maybe not even six. It still might be like more than 6 months. But based off of yesterday and political stuff or whatever, that was what Q was talking about.
I still think it's going to be a little bit slower, which I guess is frustrating, because why the hell did you rush that other plan if you had 6 months to kick around the next ideas? And I understand that part of that is because they got more time if they want a new building. They wanted to speed up the process if it was going to be a renovation on the same site. But it's also, I've never said that they don't have no time. Because I think Frank White was being like, we got 7 years left. And I'm like, it's not that long. You don't have 7 years. People have to work out these agreements long before that. It takes a while to build stadiums or to renovate stadiums or a million other things that go in there. So I always thought that it was less time than he made it seem. But it was obviously more time than the Royals and Chiefs made it seem, because nobody's made like a power play coming out of that thing. The Royals have gone as quiet as the Chiefs were. Now the Chiefs are doing more of the talking than the Royals, because I think they're more the belle of the ball at the moment. I think both sides are going to fight for them first and then fight for the Royals second. That seems to be fairly obvious at this point, right?
Yes. What the Royals are going to be able to do is still going to be, I think, predicated on what the Chiefs ultimately decide. And we mentioned this a week or so ago that at this point, and we all know it's changed so many times, but at this point, it seems like there's more of a lean, and when you're hearing from people, whether it's public or privately, talking about that maybe after all this, the dust settles, it's the Chiefs that stay in Missouri, and if a team were to leave, it's the Royals that end up by the Legends, and that's more the battery that they talk about from Atlanta and everything. It was actually more that than a downtown stadium,
is in a suburb.
Yeah, so. Right. Yeah, exactly. And so that's basically what that would be talking about.
I want downtown baseball. That would.
Oh, I prefer that. But ultimately,
selfish.
If you're ultimately when you talk about the situation, like if you're someone that's in Jackson County, you probably obviously want both teams to stay there. If you're someone that's not, and you just live in the region, the fortunate thing is neither team's leaving the region.
That doesn't seem to be in play at the moment.
No, and I just don't think that's reality. I don't. And fortunately, as much as people might get upset that the state line is being pitted against each other, that's also why we're not worried about either team leaving, because you have that luxury. I know certain leaders in certain cities and whatever might disagree, but like, because it hurts.
Kansas City was located in Columbia, this might be a different problem.
Right, right. I mean, so I think the state line actually is a good thing in this instance for retaining both teams. We've talked over and over about our personal preferences of, hey, I think the Chiefs renovating a stadium as old as Arrowhead doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I understand we'll get a text, I'm sure, in 5 seconds saying, well, you don't love Arrowhead. Again, we've gone over this. I love Arrowhead. First stadium I went to, had season tickets as my family going to games there.
You don't love it anymore. You have season tickets now. You hate it.
Section 302, 303. A lot of great memories and everything. But there's a reality of like, why, you know, if we talk about people that don't want to use public money, we know public money is going to be involved. Why does it make sense to use public money for a stadium that by the, you know, fast forward on a 25-year lease, are they going to have to build a new stadium then anyway? And right now you have Patrick Mahomes, you have all the momentum and everything like that. So I personally don't believe in renovating Arrowhead, and I personally believe a new stadium makes more sense. But we'll see.
Yeah, I do too. I think you and I have made our stance there pretty clear. But I do want downtown baseball, and I want that to come back alive. My fear is that if downtown baseball were real, I kind of feel like there'd be a little buzz about it. That they would have brought those conversations back up and be kicking them around. We got a sense of what the Chiefs' ideas are, and right now it seems like the favorite in the clubhouse is, all right, maybe you're right, and we'll just build a brand new stadium right here, right where we were. Now, we saw the renovation or the renderings for the one out at Legends done by a developing group and the things that came with that. But the Royals, it's downtown failed, and then they just went back to the bunkers to figure out what was the next successful plan for this team going forward. And I don't know. We talked about this before. I didn't think it should have a factor now. But maybe they feel like they got a little more juice or leverage because now, in addition to that, they've got some winning baseball to puff their chest up about, because there were people that were critical of the Royals being like, you're going to ask for that and put out this product?
But doesn't that only matter if there's a public vote needed, which may not be needed depending on the area they're looking for? And we know if both teams are to stay in Missouri, it likely involves Jackson County and like a Clay County. I don't know if you know, you're going to be able to have both. I could be wrong, but I don't know if you're going to be able to have both in Jackson County anymore.
Why does Gold hate Arrowhead?
Yeah,
Will you get to that?
Yeah, I knew that text was going to come. No, we've talked about it. It's just I don't think it makes sense to renovate an older building. That's all.
Hi.
Love Arrowhead. Again.
It is a historic venue.
Great atmosphere.
NFL standards. I think they know what you don't want to admit, which is eventually it's going to crumble into a million pieces. And that could be, I mean, they might be able to get 40 more years out of it, 30 more years. They could squeeze some life, but
it's about bringing in additional revenue, well, man. You go and see these other stadiums, and I know, you know.
Yeah, yes, you want money. You want Clark Hunt to have free money so they can sign these long-term contracts.
In a perfect world, if you want to increase revenue as an owner in the NFL and you want to build all these suites, well, sure, yes. In a perfect world, Clark Hunt would pay for it entirely himself. That's just not the reality in the world we live in. We have seen it time and time again. There are a handful of privately funded stadiums. And in the Bay Area, Chase, I think it's Chase Arena for the Warriors, privately funded. They also have like $25,000 PSLs and all that. And by the way, that could still happen, I guess, in this scenario
that
too.
Could
but,
still happen.
But to that extent, like that was if you're privately funding, it's a guarantee you're having these high-priced PSLs, which could also still happen.
Speaking of PSLs, we know that our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, is a Jets season ticket member.
Yeah.
Because remember, last year he ended up offering up his seats to the Jets game to a listener so that we could raise some money for charity, which I thought was a really cool thing for Vinny to do. I just want to let it be known, if anybody ever questioned Vinny Pasquantino's honor, don't. There are people, including Houston radio stations,
that's right,
and your buddy Carl, who have never paid their debts. You know you had $20 on the Knicks game 10 years ago and they never settled up. We're never good to pay their debts. Let it be known that Vinny Pasquantino placed a wager with this show over the Chiefs-Jets game last year, in which the wager was, if the Jets won, Vinny was to get playoff tickets in a suite from this station, from us, as payment. And if the Chiefs won, we were owed Crown Club seats.
That's true.
For a future Royals game. If they won, the Chiefs did win that game, and today forwarded to me 2 Crown Club seats from Vinny Pasquantino, so that you and I, Gold, can sit right behind home plate. So, Vinny paid his debt. Now it's just for us to go. We're going to the Guardians game in September.
He did. I'm excited. I'm excited for that. I haven't sat on the Crown Club seats before. So, yeah, of course, Vinny. I had no doubt in my mind Vinny was going to pay off the bet. No reason not to if you're in his position as well. So props to him. And, yes, there are there's still a radio station in Houston that has not done that.
Yeah, you can go ahead and add that.
That's never happening. It's a sister station, technically.
Sports Radio 610 in Houston. You can add them again anytime we mention this. Please feel free to add anybody who works there. I'm not even sure if the people who owe the debt are there anymore. The station owes the debt now, okay? That's the way it worked. But Vinny paid. Vinny has paid his debt, and you and I are going to go to the Guardians game in September. Big series maybe there, you know?
You think?
And you've never sat crown seats before. You're getting ready to live the cushiest life in the world.
We're just going to sit in John Sherman seats, you know? I'm sure that's what they are. Just right there. The same seats you tried to sit in accidentally a couple years ago.
Okay. I did try to sit in John Sherman seats. That's exactly what happened. They said, sir, are you in the right seat? And I said, well, these are the number. Like, these are John Sherman seats.
They knew that was not you.
They pretty quickly kicked us out of those seats. But maybe you and I, we don't know if they're John Shermans, but I think that they're John Shermans. I think the Royals owner generously gave Vinny these seats so that we could sit comfortably.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also talk a little bit more about the latest report in Pittsburgh that Brandon Ayuk could be heading there. It's reported by our sister station that is going to happen. Now, it's not official, and some of the national personalities have said it's not done yet, but we are going to talk more about that. Plus, you'll hear our conversation with Hunter Norzad, Chiefs rookie offensive lineman. But I mentioned this earlier. Last night, bizarre circumstance at my apartment complex.
Okay.
Nobody normally knocks on my door anyway. Like, it's just, like, if someone's coming over, I know they're coming over. Like,
so that
already is just a weird circumstance. So somebody knocks on my door. It's like, I don't know, 8:45. Close to 9 o'clock last night. Knocks on the door. My dog starts barking, of course. I walk down the stairs, and I kind of look to see, and I'm like, okay. I kind of recognize the person, only that I've seen the person before, right? Like, it was a lady. It's probably in her 50s that I had seen at the complex before. I open the door, and she goes, did you hear that? And I was like, hear what? Because, you know, did somebody get in a car accident, transformer blown or
sure,
whatever?
You're like,
did you hear what happened? I was like, no. She's like,
meteor crash.
She's like, it's so loud. It's so loud. There's like a million cicadas. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been hearing them. I was like, summer in Kansas. She goes, yeah, it's just amazing. Then she proceeds to turn around and then slowly walk away from my front door. And I'm like, I was so confused. I'm just like,
all right,
have a good night. And that was the end of it. She then proceeded to stand in like the it would be the equivalent of a cul-de-sac at the apartment complex, stood there and just kind of appreciating nature. And then some other lady came by and they talked for like 25 minutes. But I was so confused. Two things crossed my mind immediately.
Drugs.
One was, is she high? And really high.
Shrooms.
The other one was, is she having like a medical emergency and is like very confused?
Okay, so I guess that would be, Not cool of you to, I guess, not double check on that one. The medical emergency thing, you know, like the confusion or those things could happen. She didn't sound confused, dude. She just sounded like she was really into the cicadas, which to me means drugs.
I think she was high.
I think she was using mushrooms. I think she.
I don't know about that. I think she just took. She took an edible.
It's not that hard to get mushrooms. I could get, you know, like.
Go ahead, Drew.
She took an edible that had too many milligrams that she did not need and didn't realize it, or maybe she thought it was one thing, popped the whole thing in there, and she went on a trip. I guess.
I mean, it was just bizarre, man.
She's feeling good.
I can't imagine. Not, you know, in it just being
you've never
completely
been high?
Sober. No, but I can't imagine being completely, I'm not saying that, being completely sober and knocking on my apartment neighbor's door. That, again, it's not like her.
Unless
I know,
you were mentally ill, yeah. I
not
think
knowing, that, you know. Actually, no, it's not like it's a neighbor that I talk to all the time. That's one thing. It'd still be a little weird, but whatever. But it's someone I've never had a conversation with. Knocks on the door just to bring up how loud the cicadas are. But that's not even how she initially phrased it. Yeah, and then it was just because I was just like, oh, yeah, I've heard them. And then she just turned around and she's
hi.
And I said, well, have a good night. And she looked back and, like, she said, it's amazing.
Drugs. I'm telling you, here are the three drugs I think I'm going to rank in order. The top three drugs I think she is most likely on.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, in order, these are the drugs I think she's most likely on.
Are you speaking from experience?
Number three.
Yeah, yeah,
I think she just, I think she took an edible and took too many. Number two, she took some, it's Johnson County. She took a Vicodin, mixed it with a little bit of wine, did not think about the consequences of combining those two. And number one, shrooms. Those are the things I think that that lady might have been on. That's what I'm saying. I stand
I think
by
the edibles, though.
I mean, I think she's in her 50s. Like yeah, I mean, but that, you know, so maybe it was she just messed up. She didn't know how strong they are. And
former producer B-Dub says maybe she was just shooting her shot. Did you consider
that's
that?
That's what a couple
she's
people
over,
on the text line
over
said.
Over 50 years old and married.
You don't think you think that's off the table?
She's over 50 and her husband lives with her.
Oh, she's definitely married.
Yeah.
Where was her husband for the cicada conversation?
So I watched this play out while she was standing. He comes back out as I'm already inside. He comes back out and she's talking to him and they're both looking up, kind of in the sky, like. Both appreciating nature, and then he walked back inside while she continued to stand in the cul-de-sac area.
Oh, he heard her and was like, "Yeah, I'm not down with this," and just left.
Dude, someone knocking on a door just for small talk—that is my nightmare.
She was
at 8:45 at night too. It's not like it's just the middle of the afternoon. I guess it's late at night or later at night.
And the cicadas were loud, but if anybody's lived here, that's the normal loud. You know, they are loud. It's summertime. So, someone says definitely shrooms. Yep. I guess so. I just hope she's all right. You know, hope she's all right.
She went on a trip. I'm sure she's fine.
The next time you see her,
someone says if you're
she's
high,
not even going to remember having this conversation.
No, someone else says from their own experience, they said when they're high, they never hear the cicadas.
Slightly different conversation. From the 913, we were getting asked earlier, we talked about the Aiyuk trade, and we had a little bit. But back on that, if you missed any of the recent news, the same thing still stands. The Aiyuk has been allowed to talk to other teams, negotiate other deals. The most recent report is that Andrew Filippone says there's a framework for a deal in place and that it's expected to be done soon. Nobody else is reporting on it to this point. He has been pretty good on the reporting overall. This is great news for the Chiefs. Can I say that? Because
how so?
The 49ers are worse, who have been, I think, maybe their single biggest competition to stopping them from winning a Super Bowl, because they've had to face them in two of the wins. One went down to the final 5 minutes of the game, and one went into overtime of a Super Bowl, and they just got worse. Flat out, they got worse. Maybe they can use those draft picks later, but they're a worse team than they are now. And if Aiyuk is going to end up with an AFC team, fine, go to the Steelers. That's not a threat. Russell Wilson's their quarterback. Someone tried to scare me with Russell Wilson, the boogeyman, last year, and I'll never fall for that again.
So I hear you where you're like, hey, this is another team that's a direct contender losing a talented player. I would rather him not be in the AFC, but yes, the Steelers are not relevant right now, so I get that. It's also another sign of, once again, the Chiefs have found ways to retain talent, and the Niners would be, therefore, struggling to retain talent, and they're generally a well-run organization. I still, to this day, or to this minute, if this trade goes through, I don't know why the 49ers are making the trade. They could just keep him. He would have to play this year and then trade him in the offseason. And what they're getting back from Pittsburgh is not necessarily a wide receiver. Like, unlike the Cleveland scenario.
It's probably just picks.
Yeah, they're mainly just getting picks. And those will help them long term, I understand. But it makes them worse.
Purdy's cheap.
It makes them worse this year.
I think,
right?
I think.
And again, it's Andrew Filippone. For those, he's with our sister station 93.7, The Fan in Pittsburgh.
It does make some sense why they wouldn't want anything in return immediately, just because they're trying to cover their ass. I think because they know that when they pay Purdy, they need they're paying so much, and other guys are going to lose. I think they're going to, you know,
they're going to lose
a substantial amount where they're trying to cover themselves, maybe to make it up in a quicker amount of time than they normally would without having the extra pick or picks.
What is that? But, like, if it's that, then you don't have the full amount of belief in Purdy than I think you should. Because then otherwise you can make up that slight talent difference with a guy who will then be more expensive, but you got the guy, right? So you're fine. I never, this in a nutshell boils down to one thing, which is, this feels like the exact type of move the 49ers never make and the Steelers never make. So I'm confused. In my entire life of watching the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, they have never been the team to trade for the wide receiver on the last year of his deal, giving up good draft capital and paying him to be the highest paid player or wide receiver in the league. And then subsequent of that, and the entire time the 49ers have been good, while you and I have been watching football, I've never seen them let go of talent ever. The 49ers have just not done that. Especially so, like, it's just weird to me. And the deal just doesn't make sense to me in a lot of ways. But I don't see how this is bad for the Chiefs.
Who?
Because even with Brandon Ayuk, where would you rank the Steelers as current threats in the AFC to stop the Chiefs from going to the Super Bowl? Fifth? Sixth? Seventh? They're below the Bengals. They're below the Jags, the Texans, the Chargers.
They're lower than seven.
I mean, they might be 10. I don't know. They're pretty far down my list of concerns.
I just wonder, like, for, I don't know of, I know you mentioned it showing that they don't believe in Purdy. Who among everybody, I guess, including the 49ers, believes that he's even a top five quarterback? Like, I think even if you're top 10, you're not, I don't know if you're capable of doing everything yourself if you're top 10. Like, if you're number 9 on the list of quarterbacks in the top 10, you single-handedly are not making up for a loss of a number 1 wide receiver, I don't think, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, or Josh Allen.
No, but, I mean, you have to assume that that's what you have in Purdy if you're going to pay him the amount of money you're going to pay him. I understand every team, like, pays their quarterback and doesn't actually believe those things. They say they believe those things. But Purdy, to this point, hasn't proven the opposite. Purdy's still very young in his career, and because he was a later pick, it's going to take us all a little bit longer to actually believe he's the goods. Statistically and success-wise, there's no reason to believe that you don't have a top five quarterback in Brock Purdy based on current results. Like, I understand the disbelief comes because of the draft pick and where he was and all those. And Shanahan warps our perception because he's kind of been successful with any quarterback he's had ever. He made Jimmy Garoppolo get to a Super, you know, like, he just had more success than other people, but...
Yeah,
I still think
some of the text I was referencing that the Niners have given away talent before. They've gave away Bono and Montana. Yeah, okay, John Lynch wasn't the GM there. Kyle Shanahan was like, if we're going to talk about moves the Niners made in the 90s or whatever, then that's not like when you made the comment that they're a smart organization. I don't think you were talking about 1995.
I'm just talking about the Kyle Shanahan Lynch era, pretty much.
I get the text. I get what you're saying. Yes, they have traded away talent in their franchise's history, but the current regime has not. I think that's what you meant by the. By your statement.
Yes. Yes. The Steelers, it's an entire lifetime of this, but certainly under Tomlin, same thing. They don't just like, the Chiefs don't do it either, right? The Chiefs very rarely would, when's the last time you remember the Chiefs trading for a player on an expiring contract? That's bad franchises do that. That's what bad teams typically do. Trade for people on expiring contracts and then pay them. Maybe Orlando Brown, I guess they did it once, but they were desperate. Desperate, desperate. In that scenario, and it wasn't even an expiring contract. They didn't pay him. They just let him play out the 2 years and then let him walk. They didn't even give him the contract. So they won the Super Bowl in between it. It's just different than how those organizations usually operate. That's all.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending as we continue broadcasting live here at Chiefs Camp. You'll also hear our conversation with Chiefs rookie offensive lineman Hunter Norzad. We got to know him a little bit, including and being smarter than both.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Of us.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, we continue broadcasting here from Chiefs camp. We're going to hear from Hunter Norzad again, if you missed our conversation with the Chiefs rookie offensive lineman. But from camp, some news notes. Chris Jones did not practice today. That somewhat expected at this point, dealing with that shoulder stinger. And as we were kind of joking with even Sean Barber, former Chiefs linebacker, like, kind of the point of camp where if you're a vet, yeah. Chris Jones, like, he's probably not practicing again.
And this is why I said I want honesty. He gave me honesty by not answering the question, right?
He did. He did. Also, other injury notes, we did see Kevin Joseph not show up to practice today.
Next up on Watch Training, a four-year show cause for Jim Harbaugh related to recruiting violations all the way back from COVID-19 when they were illegally contacting recruits during what was called a dead period. He has denied all allegations. You might remember a couple of days ago he was asked about the podium. He's like, I'll apologize when I do things wrong. I am not apologizing. He made a whole big stink about the fact that he thinks he has nothing to do with it. He also didn't meet with the NCAA. It's also a toothless, meaningless, only for show penalty. The NCAA just suspended a man for 4 years who isn't actively coaching in their league. So it is what it
punishment.
Is. I mean, I do think that, like, people skirt the lines all the time, and it's about when and if you get caught. We talk about this all the time. I'm sure everybody was contacting players when they shouldn't have been during that time. That's just how the game's played.
It just feels like...
The Connor Stallions thing's more interesting to me. Because could at least technically, I mean, I don't know if they would, but...
You know, there's a show coming out.
Strip things.
There's a show coming out, right, Drew? You were telling me yesterday, or 2 days
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it's called Untold. It's three parts. It's Stallion, it's Connor Stallions, it's Hope Solo, and then there's another one I can't remember. But it's on Netflix.
All right. Yeah. Next up on...
And Connor Stallions talks, too, so it's not like it's just about him. He actually talks in the documentary.
I said, these spam texts are going to troll. I just got one from someone that said, my name is Scarlet America. Make up a real name.
Scarlet
Spam?
America?
Yeah, that's not a real name.
Huh. Scarlet America.
She'd like to meet up.
There you go. She might knock on your door.
Jeez.
Ask you about the cicadas. Anyway, next up on What's Trending, according to a report in Pittsburgh from our sister station, 93.7 The Fan there, the Steelers have a verbal agreement in place with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. Now, Andrew Filippone reports that all the terms of the deal and contract details are being hammered out now. The wide receiver, though, is coming to Pittsburgh. So it's not 100% done, but it sure seems like that's what's going to happen, which we just spent a good deal of time talking about it. I am very surprised, ultimately, if they trade him.
Filippone's well-sourced like there. Happen. We haven't heard it from the big boys yet, you know, once Schefter sends it out.
True.
We know for sure. But he's also reporting that all the framework stuff, the deal might actually not be inked just yet. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals dropped Game 2 to the Red Sox last night, falling 6-5. Lugo went pretty deep in the game, couldn't get out of a jam in the sixth inning, and an error by Michael Massey, part of the contribution to that. They'll get the chance to salvage the series tonight. Cole Reagan's on the bump, 7:10 first pitch, 6 o'clock for Vern's On Deck Show.
One injury note just around the NFL, Josh Downs, wide receiver there in Indianapolis with the Colts, dealing with a high ankle sprain after leaving practice in an air cast. He is expected to be out at least a month. Part of that, Michael Pittman, wide receiver room. They also drafted the rookie, A.D. Mitchell, was a name that we talked a ton about during the draft process here in Kansas City. So they have some options, but that's a little bit of a hit for Anthony Richardson in year number two, but potentially his first full year as a starter in the NFL. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold as we continue our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. So a little bit earlier today, we were joined after practice by Chiefs rookie offensive lineman Hunter Norzett. Got to know him a little bit and simply at the beginning just asked him how he's doing, how camp is treating him.
They're going well. It's definitely an intense experience, as y'all can probably see. But I'm really enjoying myself. It's been really great to, you know, connect with the guys, learn the playbook, you know, get to compete at a really high level with some of the best defenders in the league. So it's been really fun.
People always compare like NFL camp to NFL camp. How's this compared to just like college practice? Because they always say it's hard. Andy runs a hard training camp.
Yeah, I think that. That's an interesting question. I don't know how to answer.
They're
that.
Not the same. I
no,
understand.
No, no,
I
mean, they're very different. Obviously, I think there's more time restrictions in the NFL, so college practice may seem longer. But when we're talking about intensity and intent and competition, I don't think there's really a lot to compare to what's going on here. And obviously, I can't compare, you know, my experience here to other NFL teams. So.
Teammate-wise, who have you kind of leaned on a little bit, whether it's on the field stuff, right, in the trenches, or just, hey, getting used to being a professional athlete and hanging out a little bit. Who do you kind of maybe, who have you become friends with, basically?
I gotta be honest with you. It's really the entire offensive line room.
Okay.
That group of guys is really great. I've talked about them before. They've been extremely supportive. You know, they're very welcoming to not just me, but all the rookies. Any questions, they're happy to answer them, whether it's about, you know, stuff off the field, lifestyle stuff, stuff on the field, you know, assignments and stuff like that. And so, really, just the entire offensive line room. You know, we eat meals together, and it's been really great.
So we saw when you walked into camp. I think it made a lot of big things because you brought Lego with you, like a flower, but made of Lego. Why in particular that? Why not just build a new one up here? Why? What made you decide to bring that up with you?
Yeah, there's no time to build a new one.
Okay.
I'll tell you that.
I was about to say, you wouldn't have enough time to finish it.
I thought about it. I did think about bringing just an unfinished Lego set and trying to build it, but I got my focus on other things right now. And so I just want a little piece of home with me. I wasn't going to bring a
real flower to keep track of.
Well, yeah, real flower. I got to water it. You know, I don't have any sunlight in my room, so. But no, just to bring a little piece of something from home with me to camp to try to stay centered as much as possible.
Does it so far? I mean, you get drafted by the Chiefs and you come from college, so you haven't. I mean, through practice, you're living in a dorm just like you were. Although you maybe had a house in college or whatever. I don't know your final year, but just does that part of it? Just you're like you feel like you're just back at college so far, like the first 3 weeks here. Or?
Nah, I feel like I'm at work. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I think it's a job now. Yeah, I mean. It's the best job in the world, but you know I'm very intentional with my days and what I do on a day to day hourly basis, and so it doesn't really feel like I'm in college. I feel like I'm just maybe on, I'm sure what's something I can compare it to, maybe like a work retreat, like an onboarding work retreat, something like that. You know, that's how it feels.
Okay, that the way you're describing it is when they like go on a. They go and do trust falls and stuff. You got to really figure out whether or not to figure each other out.
Something
right?
like that.
When you people don't know you much yet, and like the Lego stuff and all that, we've heard other guys getting together to play like Settlers of Catan. What does your free time look like, right? What does a traditional off season look like for you? We understand football takes up a lot of this time now, but what kind of things are you into?
What I really want to get into is working on cars.
Clyde's good for that, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think that, you know, I have my childhood car that I had for a very long time. So I think that's going to be my big non-football focus. is trying to learn how to work on cars, modify it, clean it up, stuff like that. And obviously, we can't forget about the Legos. I'm probably going to get the Lego Titanic, Lego Eiffel Tower, something big. The Eiffel Tower is like 5 feet tall, so that'll take me a while. But Lego sets and building.
Okay, so this is a lifetime thing for you then, right? Because you're an engineering student. You went to Penn, like, you're. This is how your brain works,
yeah,
right?
This is how I built this. This isn't a phase. I think
yeah.
this is just
you're
this
locked
is in my genetics now. I don't think there's any more avoiding it as I get older.
What's the childhood car then?
It's a 2008 4Runner.
So that's okay.
So I had that for like 8 years.
You're still driving it?
No.
Okay. You upgraded.
It completely broke down
okay.
on me.
I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
It gave up?
Yep. So my goal is to bring it back to life.
Okay. So you have the car still.
Yeah, I still.
And your hope is like
car.
I'm going to. You'll learn to fix it by fixing your childhood car.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a really good approach to do it. What went wrong? Like break an engine or?
No.
Like how deep in are you?
No, I'm not that deep in. The coilovers in the front completely shot. It was a pretty old lifted suspension system, so
okay.
It was under a lot of stress anyways. I drove it in upstate New York and central Pennsylvania for 6 years, and the solid just got to it, popped off. It was unfit to drive to Kansas City from Pennsylvania.
According to the state or according to you?
According to probably the state as well as a few car shops around
okay.
town.
We've got Hunter Norzad, Chiefs rookie lineman, joining us. I say rookie lineman because you're playing us in different spots. I think that was one thing around the draft we discussed. You know, you played guard, but you could also play center. Just what have you been focused on so far at camp here?
I'm really just focused on doing whatever they want me to do, whether that's left guard, right guard, center. And, you know, learning the intricacies between the two positions and how things change. And really just trying to take what Coach Heck is telling us when it comes to techniques and stuff like that and try to apply them on the field.
He said everyone has great things to say about Coach Heck. What has that coaching relationship been like? How good has he been for you?
I think he's incredible. He's an extremely supportive coach. Obviously, he has experience not only as a coach but as a player in the NFL. And so I think he really understands what it's like to be an NFL offensive lineman, and that comes through a lot when he's talking to us and telling us, you know, change up stuff or telling us, you know, what do we need to fix? We're watching film, we mess up, how he kind of approaches that conversation.
I know it will be a preseason game. I know you've been at camp. But on Saturday, when you actually get to play in a game, will that feel different, being like I'm in an NFL game?
I think so. I think probably leading up to the game is going to feel different. Once that ball snaps, it's just football. You know, football is football, whether I'm in Jacksonville or Kansas City or Pennsylvania or something like that. And so once that ball snaps, you know, it's time to go to work and it's time to play.
It may sound kind of weird because, look, you're drafted, so you obviously know you belong in that realm, right, come out of college and your talent. But is there a point where maybe out there at practice or maybe it'll come Saturday where you feel even more comfortable or you feel even more like you belong at that point? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation. I think probably on Saturday that's gonna click. I don't think that I've really felt like I don't belong here, but I think being able to play in an NFL preseason game is really gonna culminate together, and it's gonna come together.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it. We'll give you time for Lego. And look,
he said he's not building them up here, though.
I think he
says it's already good to go. I don't have the patience for it, so props to you. Again, you're engineering. We already know you're 1,000 times smarter than both of us here.
Yeah.
So, this is.
You're definitely smarter than me. It's fine. I like to pretend that it's not the case, but it is. I'm just a sports
Were you trying for a second to. Were you trying
I was
to
gonna,
claim that you were anywhere near the same?
No! I was never going to claim that. I was interested in engineering for what it's worth. I was accepted to pre-engineering, but I didn't. I was never going to make it. I'd have flunked. Wouldn't have worked out. Congrats on you for making it, though.
Thanks,
and good luck. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Appreciate you
there
guys.
There you go. Hunter Norzad, earlier today with us after practice in all our Chiefs player interviews on 610 Sports Radio are brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. I don't think you're anywhere near.
I was going to try to like make an argument for myself, but I was like, what's the point? And Hunter Norzad certainly doesn't care for me to try
I think
to
he was
argue.
Sitting there and like he was confused because he doesn't obviously he doesn't
know our
show.
Dynamic.
So he was probably like, why? Wait, he thought I was like, he's like, why are you calling him out? I'm sure he's sitting there like, what? Wait, whoa, am I about to experience a fight? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Be like, hey, you know what? Not cool, man. And you know that I went. I only applied to two schools.
He did chuckle when you said you pre-engineering. You applied. He did chuckle at that. Yeah.
There was two programs I applied for that were part of like the degree acceptance that I had gone to, and one was engineering at Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and the other was journalism at MU. I went to neither. I went to community college 5 years after that.
Nothing wrong with that.
And then I went to UMKC.
I just laughed because I was like, dude, like, yeah, no, he is clearly.
Oh,
no, I
mean, he went to Penn, dude. He obviously is smarter than me.
He went to Penn and majored in engineering. He's a very smart individual.
It's a little bit of like LDT. Like, what the hell are you doing playing football, man? This sport's dangerous. Go be smart. Make a bunch of money.
Drew, what was that?
Was it Penn or Penn State?
Cornell and Penn State, sorry.
Oh, Penn State. Okay. Still.
Cornell? I mean.
Yeah, Cornell. Ivy League.
I mean, well, yeah.
Ever heard of it?
Penn State and Cornell, I would say. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Cornell, yes. I know more for football than, or for basketball than football.
But I went to community college in UMKC, so pretty close.
And now you're a professor or adjunct professor.
Yep. Now I get to teach. Shape the young minds. I got my, I'm down to 10 pages. Still some work to do.
10?
Give me some time. I only had so much time
to
work
on it
last
night. Five more to go. Five more pages to go.
I think if you included a full week-to-week schedule, I asked around, by the way, to see. If you include a full week-to-week schedule, what I am doing in the syllabus is not unreasonable. Plus, there are some things that I just have to have. What do you point now, Gold?
Like four different helicopters all just in a line. I don't know.
Cruising around?
Like, I don't know if there's Air National Guard up here or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's like they're not just like they're clearly military aircraft going around.
They are all flying
just north.
I thought at first you were pointing at those wasps that have
Well,
never
those
been
have been here the whole camp. We're used to it by now. I mean, we haven't been stung, knock on wood.
Did you attempt to get rid of them, Cody?
Yeah, I keep forgetting to bring this stuff up with me. And now there aren't enough days left in camp, Drew, to justify trying to kill them.
Mm.
I'm just going to let them live their lives. Now, I do feel bad for the person who takes this post down because
oh, my goodness.
It's going to be a problem for them. I have just let a wasp honeycomb go unfettered inside of this tent. So the person who takes these tents down is going to have to go through it a little bit. But.
That is true. I've gotten bit by other things as we've been out here, but not a wasp, fortunately. Just normal bug bite stuff. But anyway.
Since we're up here at Chiefs camp, we can finish with Chiefs before we hand things off to the drive. And then, of course, Royals baseball tonight at 6. We'd mentioned earlier on the depth chart, and I don't think we got into the other part that was interesting. We talked a little bit about fullback because they haven't had a fullback since Anthony Sherman retired, and now all of a sudden they got a fullback on the depth chart, which makes you feel like they might go that route. But Kadarius Toney was listed as fourth string. He was on the same line as Cornell Powell. Sky Moore only one spot ahead of that in third string. At this point, no one can claim that if we get to September 5th and they release the full rosters, obviously they're releasing before that a little bit, no one can tell me that they'd be surprised with any of the following results. Neither are on the team. Both are on the team. Either of the one, just one, is on the team. Because none of them are high enough on the depth chart to be protected anymore.
Well, I definitely don't think Sky and Toney are making the team anymore.
I think it's going to be one.
Unless there's an injury, because then suddenly they can put Toney, let's just say, in this hypothetical.
Who didn't practice today, by the way.
Right. If Toney ends up on IR or something, then technically they have an extra roster spot. Let's just assume that both
are active 53 for week one.
Right. I don't think both are there. I don't. And
I guess I'd favor Sky at this point, wouldn't you?
See, I wouldn't. I think
he's on the field. He's physically on the field.
But we just said we're taking out the health part for a second. Like, I mean, if we are factoring that one guy didn't practice today and they would just put him on IR or something, though. But I'm just saying that if both are fully healthy heading in, I actually think Toney still has a better chance to make it than Sky Moore for a couple of reasons. One, the finances either way, $2.5 million. They still can't quit him, seemingly, because they know athletically he's still
superior as an athlete. Yes.
Sky Moore, yes, they drafted him, so that carries some weight. He's
not a higher pick than they traded for Toney.
But when people bring up, he's not making any money, so that's why they keep him. Yeah, but Tony's making the same amount of money whether they keep him or not. So like the money thing's a wash to me. And then Sky Moore, can he contribute on special teams? If Toney theoretically can line up at running back and wide receiver and help on special teams, he's more valuable. But I think this truly gets sorted out because unfortunately somebody in the wide receiver room or tight end room, somebody probably is getting banged up. Like, so that's just usually how this goes. It's happened, I feel like, for four straight camps. There's some backup player that gets
hurt. Remy Hio
last year, didn't he get hurt?
He did.
Right? I'm not rooting for anybody to get hurt, but like, usually that's how this plays out. And right now I think Remy Hio's in a good spot to make the team.
I think that I would prefer Sky. And it's not because I think I got called a Tony hater pretty early on. And by the way, so far that's been fine. It's not like there's anything against that. I'm never actively rooting against their career. But what I would say at this point is, if I'm talking about the sixth wide receiver, you know what matters more to me than athleticism? Trust. Straight up, trust.
I hear you.
And I can't trust Tony.
Fair.
You just can't trust him. He hasn't been consistent in kick or punt return. He hasn't been on the field. I can't trust him to be healthy.
But
I can't trust him not to drop a pass. I can't trust him. I can trust Sky, not a ton, but more than I can trust Tony. If you're forcing me to choose between the two, if I'm the Chiefs, I would take Sky.
It's more than fair. You're right. Don't trust him. But here's my reason why I don't know. If it matters to all of us. We've brought this up. But if it was truly a concern for the Chiefs, he wouldn't even be up here still. Like,
yeah.
The issues of trust all were played out last year, and yet they still brought him back up to training camp and everything and did not move on. So fans don't trust him. The team clearly is fazed by what happened in week one against Detroit and throughout the season, because he's still here at training camp. Financially, they cut him 3 months ago or next week or whatever, 3 weeks from now, it's the same thing. I don't know if the trust thing actually is factoring into the Chiefs as much as it is for fans.
There's almost conceivably no way that neither
like, what
of them
is
make
Sky,
it, correct?
What is Sky, what's that?
There's almost no way that neither of them name.
I wouldn't say no way.
Oh, right? I think there's a chance neither's on the roster.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't say no way.
I don't think it could be like, what? I think you'd be like, I didn't necessarily think it'd go down like that, but I don't think you can walk in and be like, whoa. Neither of them have earned a spot where you're just like, it's yours.
No, because what's the one thing where you're like, man, how many moments can you actually pinpoint? The same argument you can use to go against Tony of like, hey, you don't trust him, and I agree. Sky Moore, like, when have you last seen, like, man, you know what? He's doing that really, really well.
No, he screws up less. You know what?
He screws up less because he doesn't get open.
There you go.
Maybe, but like, I'd rather a guy who doesn't get open, who doesn't drop the pass into the other hand. He's a net zero. Does that, right? He's a net zero if he's just never open and the ball never goes his way. When it goes Tony's way, it's going the other way all of a sudden.
No, I hear you. I'm fine with neither being on the team. I just, you know, as much as when we talk on Tony, the downside's there. I just, you know.
There's just no upside on the other side.
What's Sky really bringing to the table these days?
Not much. I mean, I'm not infatuated with him either. Honestly, I think Remy Hio might be the better player.
I wanted
him to take two wide receivers in the draft.
Yeah.
Then you really could have made it easier.
Let's
take another one next year. You know this works.
We're talking about the fifth, sixth, or seventh receivers anyway. Let's keep that in perspective. We're way down the depth chart.
Would you rather Justin Ross make the roster than either of the others? Than either of those guys?
I don't care.
Okay.
It's a good question, but like, I don't think that matters either, because again, it's the seventh.
Right.
You know, Justin Ross can't play special teams is the problem. As well as Nico Armijo and some others.
It's just like choosing.
We're so far down the depth chart.
Yeah. I am fine. Sure.
We'll be back up here on Monday. There's no practice the next couple days as the Chiefs get set for their preseason game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're back in studio tomorrow. Looking forward to talk to you guys 10 to 2 tomorrow right here on 610 Sports Radio. The Drive with CDOT coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.